It's Public Radio Weekend. I'm David Brown. They're practically inescapable. Nearly every day brings another report of an Iraqi leader being captured, someone whose face was featured in those now world-famous playing cards given to U.S. forces. Okay, you've heard about those playing cards, but have you ever stopped to think about where those cards came from and whose idea it was? Well, Public Radio Weekend's John Beaupre is here with me to pick up the thread on this subject, and I gather you've been doing some intelligence work of your own here, John.
Well, sure I have, David. Super sleuth for Public Radio Weekend. You'd think that one of the most wildly successful propaganda campaigns in history would be just the thing that the Pentagon would want to crow about.
Sure.
Well, not exactly. It took me the better part of a week to locate the one officer who could tell me a bit about the cards. Lieutenant Dan Hetlich is a Pentagon spokesperson. He told me that the cards were a product of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which just came up with the idea one day in a meeting.
It could have been something that easy. As I hear it, there were about five people involved who were really the genesis, who, not a brand new idea, but used that idea to put the faces on the cards. And there were these folks all worked for the DIA. And that was the genesis, and they're the agency responsible for the cards.
In the beginning, the Pentagon printed up 200 decks of the cards and shipped them over to the front in Iraq. Then, on April 11th, things got a little crazy. I asked Lieutenant Hetlich what it was like when General Vincent Brooks displayed the cards at his press conference.
Well, it was just your standard, CENTCOM briefing. Nobody really thought anything of it until the phone call started, and then the first few phone calls, we kind of looked at each other, okay, why are these so popular? And a few more phone calls, like, okay, I'm getting another card, more calls, cards there. And then the phone calls started coming from within house. You know, I'm executive assistant for General up to scratch, and I want to get him a set because he's the, general of all, whatever. Well, guess what? And I'll tell you, just me personally, I bought, 6 dozen sets so I could distribute them to my friends. So
it turns out not only had the Pentagon tapped into a deep pack rat sensibility in the American psyche, they also continued a practice that goes back to other American military conflicts. Nick Luca is president of the company that distributes the cards for the venerable Cincinnati manufacturer, U.S. Playing Card Company.
Because I'm a bit of a history buff, I did know the cards were used as spotter cards that were given out to the troops to identify enemy aircraft in World War II. But U.S. Playing Card Company, which is over 100 years old business, has had a long history of developing cards for military use.
Nick Luca explains that U.S. Playing Card developed the spotter cards troops could use to distinguish between U.S. and enemy aircraft, and the legendary Ace of Spades seen in the helmets of Marines in Vietnam. Military leaders had believed that Vietnamese soldiers were very superstitious about the Ace of Spades. They even made their way into the POW camps.
In fact, one of the versions of cards has a real interesting story behind it, in that, from what I understand, the cards that were shipped to some of the POWs, American troops in Germany during the war, were water-soluble, and they didn't dissolve, but they peeled apart, and in between the two sheets of paper, there were some directions in helping the POWs escape from the POW camps.
So while the U.S. government only printed up fewer than 200 total decks of the Iraqi cards in that first run, they captured the imagination of the public back here at home. In the 1 month the cards have been on the market, they've sold over 600,000 sets of the official cards and uncounted numbers of the unlicensed ones.
Well, John, thanks for following that thread on this story for us. And while you're here, maybe we can ask you a couple of questions about this. First of all, I'm thinking, is there any logic to what was printed on which card? I mean, any priority given there?
No, actually, David, other than Saddam Hussein himself and his two sons, all of the cards are completely random.
And the Saddam and his two sons were aces?
That's right, right. Ace of Hearts and Ace of Clubs.
How successful have those cards been in helping to actually apprehend the Iraqi leaders?
Now, that's an interesting question. While no one at the Pentagon is going to cop to it, one source I spoke to said he didn't think the cards were directly responsible for the arrest of even one of the 15 or 20 or so former Iraqi military leaders whose faces appear on those cards.
So what's the point?
Well, I think that the real point is that it's a great PR coup for the U.S. to get these names out there. Everyone wants to know these pictures. It spread the picture around really, really well.
You think we're going to see other decks of playing cards emerge as a result of this discussion?
Oh, indeed. This comes on the tail of a long history of novelty playing cards. We just got an email today announcing that a company in Florida is releasing a deck of cards that has the face of hardcore liberals on them. So instead of Saddam, Uday, and Kusei, you have Michael Moore, Barbara Streisand, and that toughest liberal of all, Jimmy Carter.
That's our own John Blackjack Beaupre. I'm David Brown, and you're listening to Public Radio Weekend.